Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
Go stop at your girl, Sasha Banks, Legit Boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at YouTube.com/ Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it so you always know when there's new Going In Raw content. Do we have audio, Larson?
We have audio.
So far, so good. Very good. And we're available also on the Patreon, patreon.com/ Steve and Larson. Let me make sure that we have audio. Going to double check here. Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
We're a professional run organization now, Larson.
We finally know how to stream successfully.
On the Patreon, if somebody here in chat says, I don't even know they do it live. I thought he said, I didn't know they know how to do it live.
Which I don't know if we know how to do it live either.
Half the time we don't. We're available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Stephen Larson. If you want to support Going In Raw and benefit from all sorts of great rewards we have on the Patreon, feel free to take a look. If you like this live stream, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we do one live exclusively for patrons. Our Raw, SmackDown, and NXT 205 live recaps before they go up as podcasts.
Yep.
They are live. We're also available at ProWrestlingTees.com/ Going In Raw. I submitted a new design yesterday, Larson. It's not up yet.
I have to get Cold Water Larson up this week. It has to happen.
You've seen the design. What did you think of it?
I like it.
Hey.
Hey, don't spoil it for people. Let them be surprised.
Hey, you're not me. It's going up. Hopefully sometime today. So that's where we are.
Excuse me.
What a weekend.
Yeah.
What an interesting.
Wasn't expecting such an exciting wrestling weekend. You know, all the happenings at Bound for Glory. Oh, that's not what you're talking about. This is a different recap.
That's exactly what we're talking about. My Bound for Glory review is up, by the way. And the show was evidence as to why only one of us is really required to do it. And I don't know why I put myself through it.
I don't know why either.
You know what? It's, to me, at this point, it's the little wrestling promotion that could do good things. Oh God, it's a mess, dude. It's a mess. I like Moose though.
Moose is
great.
Great.
Moose is the man.
Moose
is
outstanding.
No, Power Struggle. New Japan Pro Wrestling Power Struggle was
a somewhat surprisingly very important show.
No kidding. I guess Sunday morning.
Yeah, me too.
And wow.
I know. I guess it should be expected that there would be some developments, considering it's the last major show before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And granted, we're new to this New Japan Pro Wrestling world.
Mm-hmm.
This is really our first year watching it, so maybe in previous Power Struggles things have happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, for their major shows, it's It's Wrestle Kingdom, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You got Genesis. You got Dominion.
Yeah.
And I heard, maybe I'm wrong, that King of Pro Wrestling is supposed to be one of their major shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in the sense that their world title was defended, it is. But in terms of storyline, not a lot came of that.
Right, yeah.
Whereas this show, at least for the latter half of it, was all storyline implications for Wrestle Kingdom
as
well.
Oh, huge implications.
So let's jump right into the major development.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, almost, we talked about rumors going around, courtesy of ProWrestling.com,
mm-hmm.
that there was could be a match between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, because they're in the midst of their Twitter beef.
Yeah.
And
that's how things happen these days on Twitter.
No. Social media, ProWrestling.com was saying that match could potentially happen at Wrestle Kingdom 12. And then last night, we got confirmation of that with Chris Jericho showing up on the video screen.
It was absolutely crazy. So, yeah, like you said, and by the way, people stealing our thumbnails from a week ago.
Yeah, just don't steal thumbnails.
Don't
people.
Steal stuff.
Just don't steal
this
stuff.
It's rude.
It's not cool.
I worked a good 10 minutes on that thumbnail. No, this is absolutely stunning. So Kenny Omega had a match against Trent Beretta.
Yes.
Of course, Trent, his foray into the heavyweight division, landed him a title shot, U.S.
Trent
title
shot. Trent's also one of the top contenders for going into Raw Wrestler of the Year.
That is true. And at the end of that, Kenny Omega got in the mic and he basically said, I've cleaned out the division. There's nobody left.
No one back there has the guts.
He starts asking the crowd, anybody, anybody? And then lights go down. We see and these video packages, these videos that New Japan are able to put together, they're cinematic.
Yes.
They're fantastic.
Captivating.
They're captivating.
Engrossing.
Exactly. Engrossing.
So there's like a countdown, and there are some shots that are really reminiscent of Jericho's video package.
Yeah.
In WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up, holds a picture of Kenny Omega, and then says, Kenny Omega, I'm paraphrasing here.
Well, hold on. No, we need more minutia here. It hard cuts to a shot of him after all these little mysterious things. And the crowd goes,
yeah, there's an audible gasp from, 12,000 people in the arena?
And even Kevin Kelly and Don Callis take a step and they go, oh, my God, that's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Like, because it's great. When you watch the video just by itself, which they have on New Japan World,
where you don't have any of the...
There's no crowd noise.
There's no crowd audio, no.
And they just... You understand that they let it sink in because it's just a long... Just an extended shot of him scowling at the camera.
Yeah.
He pulls up a picture of Kenny Omega. Great visual. Everybody's like, oh, God, this is happening.
Yeah.
And then he rips it up. He says, Kenny Omega, what a tremendous performer. What a talented performer. I think he said fantastic performer. But he's not the best in the world.
Others have tried to lay claim to that title.
CM Punk, Edge.
Shawn Michaels.
And
they're all gone.
And I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
He says, Kenny, you think you're the best in the world. No, I am. I'm the greatest of all time. I am the alpha.
That's right.
Of this business.
And then he says the words, which you have to say in New Japan.
You do. Kenny Omega, I challenge you. January 4th, Tokyo Dome. And I think Kevin Kelly says, can this even happen?
Yeah.
Implying
exactly.
that Jericho might still be under contract with WWE.
Ooh, yeah.
Challenge issued. Kenny gets on the mic. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
He is, like, laughing. He's giddy almost.
He's giddy.
Whereas the Young Bucks
freak out.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on, Kenny.
Heavy.
Are
Wait
you sure
a
you want to do this?
So good.
Captivating. Riveting.
Yeah. Huge. Huge.
Pro Wrestling Entertainment. So that match is set for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Pretty quickly after this was, you know, like Sunday morning when a lot of us were waking up to this news, Pro Wrestling Sheet had a report that said that Jericho and New Japan had been in talks about this appearance at Wrestle Kingdom 12 since August, with the Pro Wrestling Sheet saying, quote, Y2J's upcoming cruise may have factored into his decision to venture outside of WWE. And Pro Wrestling Sheet mentions an appearance that Jericho had on Killing the Town, I believe it's Don Callis and Lance Storm. Podcast, where Jericho mentioned that, quote, this is from the Pro Wrestling Sheet article, that, quote, he's financially responsible for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea and wanted to partner with a promotion for the wrestling side of things. Chris admits he tried to get the NXT brand to perform on the cruise, but was denied after months of talks. Chris then told Triple H he'd still be doing the cruise without them. So it's interesting that he went to WWE and said, let's have NXT perform on this cruise. which have been fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't listen to the podcast itself.
Nor have I.
But those words, I'd still be doing the cruise without you. That sounds like, even if he just said that on the podcast, even if there's no animosity there, which I don't have reason to believe there is, but if it was months of talks and then they eventually just said no, and he said, I'm still doing this without you, that sounds like they're, I don't know.
Jericho's put in enough equity in the wrestling business that he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
And then this morning, right before we started, WrestleZone had a report, exclusive report, where they can, quote, confirm that WWE did not know that Chris Jericho was going to challenge Kenny Omega to a match at Wrestle Kingdom 12. And they continue, quote, Jericho is not under contract WWE and did not have to give them a heads up. And Meltzer said Sunday sometime,
mm-hmm.
that he also confirmed that Jericho is no longer under contract with WWE.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to think that he went to NXT, you know, because I'm sure Jericho has a certain amount of, I don't know if loyalty is the right word, but
mm-hmm, sure.
With WWE.
Yeah.
And then for them to kind of, granted, you know, there's logistics and scheduling and all that kind of stuff for October of next year. I think that's when Jericho's cruise is happening. Nonetheless, when WWE is battling Ring of Honor, New Japan, Bullet Club in terms of being cool,
mm-hmm, yeah.
this is an option for them. NXT, which is their coolest brand,
yeah.
to really take a step forward and look cool.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And now it's allowing Ring of Honor, and specifically now Bullet Club,
yeah.
to look super cool.
Yeah, I know.
And then, you know, someone tweeted about this. I'm sorry I didn't make note of it, that they ran down the top two cards of Wrestle Kingdom versus WrestleMania. Top two matches on the card for Wrestle Kingdom, Okada Naito, Jericho Omega. Oh, my gosh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Top two matches for WrestleMania, Lesnar Reigns and probably Mahal Cena. Not so cool.
Not very cool, no.
I apologize for not sourcing that tweet, but just I read that and it stuck in my mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got it exactly. I mean, look, man, New Japan, they've been doing this. Oh, also announced at Power Struggle, they're coming back to the U.S. in March.
Yes, we're going, right?
Yeah, we're going to that, yeah. We're going to try to get front row with Bullet Club Hunter shirts. You
yeah.
already have your shirt.
I already have mine, courtesy of you.
We'll see if James will wear a Bullet Club Hunter shirt. If he'll wear a Bullet Club Hunter shirt, he can sit front row with us.
Yes, otherwise.
Otherwise, I don't know, he'll have to be where he was last time.
He was still on the floor.
We'll open negotiations with him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be cool with that.
All right.
Now, typically Pro Wrestling Sheet has sales throughout the year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Take advantage of one sales.
Oh, Pro Wrestling
Tees.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did I say Sheet?
Sheet.
Sorry, yeah. Pro Wrestling Tees.
They might have sales, too. I don't know. I think they have shirts.
Yeah, but don't know if they have them on their own site. Anyways, Pro Wrestling Tees typically has sales throughout the year. Take advantage of those sales. You can get discounted Bullet Club Hunter shirt.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be cool if you can buy a Bullet Club Hunter misprint shirt.
Yeah, I know. That'd be rad. I wonder if we can put on a request. So that's huge. So New Japan, they are not, and you noted this off camera, but so apparently the venue seats, I think it's actually 4,000.
Well, it's 5,000 typically. It's I think.
The record they have is 6,200.
They said on the broadcast, 7,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On the Power Struggle?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think, don't quote me on this, I think it's Cal State Long Beach's basketball
mm-hmm.
arena.
Yeah.
So I think typically, yeah, for basketball, it's 5,000 or so.
Okay, right.
But
on.
Then, you know, I don't know, I don't think floor seats would account for actually 2,200. I could be wrong, but yeah. that was the crowd for the G1 shows in Long Beach was about 2,000.
Yeah. So this is
a huge step up. They're going
it's
to
a big step up.
Three times.
Yeah. But
given how
quickly Long Beach sold out last year.
Yeah.
Or this year.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all. Right. They're going to say, okay, well, let's take this one step further. I like they're doing it in Long Beach again.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a smart move. Because it worked so well the first time. So New Japan, they're making their inroads into the United States. And I mean, they're not. Listen, I mean, I don't see them, given the scope of the WWE, it's not necessarily, hey, we're competing with the WWE. It's, we want to carve out our own niche out here in the United States.
Well, I think it's that, but I honestly think it is a transition to, I mean, they're not going to compete directly with WWE, but like I mentioned earlier, New Japan, Bullet Club, Ring of Honor, they are destroying WWE in terms of cool factor.
Buzz.
Mainstream crossover success.
Yeah.
And at certain points, they are using the WWE and their lack of cool against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right now...
What do you think? I mean, what's, you know...
Not in terms of money-making, but in terms of how it's viewed, I think, in terms of popular perception. I think right now Bullet Club, New Japan, Ring of Honor are winning the cool war, you want to call it that.
I mean, you know, how many times can we have Roman Reigns shoved in front of our faces? And let me look, we're not... I don't mean to dog Roman Reigns, but he's not cool. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's just no buzz behind it. And but what's like sort of, you know, we get this question a lot, like, hey, what company could take down WWE? I don't think any company could ever take down WWE at this point.
The only company that could take down WWE is probably WWE.
WWE. And that, I mean, that'd be basically if they sold. I mean, I don't know what their next TV deal is going to be like, although I did read a thing, and crap, I don't even know where
I think
it
it's Wrestling Observer.
Was it Wrestling Observer?
So, yeah.
That they've been talking with USA already about the contract extension.
The contract's up in 2019.
And the indication was they're talking right now, which is a good thing for WWE. It means that they're happy with the new deal that could be on the horizon.
Yeah.
Because they said they're going to be ready to announce a new deal by mid-2018.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like before the existing deal has expired.
Right, exactly, yeah, which is a good sign for that. I mean, that's where they get, most of their revenue by far. One thing I really, really want to see before Wrestle Kingdom, and I can't – I mean, they have it on the Fire Stick, and I can't believe it'd be difficult to get it on
– getting their app on –
the PlayStation, Xbox, Roku, and Apple TV.
Yeah.
I cannot believe – in Chromecast. Wait, Chrome doesn't really have apps.
No, they don't. You can stream.
You can stream from your computer to
your computer to Chromecast pretty easily.
But if they have a highly searchable app, or even if they just take the same thing they have, just everything in English from the website and put it in like apps across platforms, across the consoles, and all that kind of stuff, I think that would go. I honestly do think because the simplicity of it would be so fantastic for everybody.
I know.
You know, when it's available everywhere. It's really surprising they haven't. Wouldn't surprise me if they do by the
roll
time
it
Wrestle
out
Kingdom
before Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah, that'd be a huge.
Because step. Everybody's going to be asking. I mean, we get that question all the time. Hey, how do we watch this? You have to go to New Japan World. You have to enroll. Figure out. You know, what is the 999 yen? You know, it's $10.
It's about $10.
Yeah. But if they had, you know, a fully English version of that, I think they'd go massive. I mean, now they have Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I know.
That's huge.
I think their replays on Access already do about the same numbers as Impact.
Oh, and Access is in far fewer, I think, homes than Pop.
Yeah, Pop. I read that somewhere.
Pop TV.
Again, sorry, I can't source it, but I read that a while ago.
And on top of that, Access isn't, I mean, Pop isn't live either. You can get spoilers, but Access is already run on New Japan. They just cut up old stuff, you know, from like a month prior.
Yeah, they might still be showing G1 matches. For the tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that could be
a possibility. So we have one super chat here from Flame Inc. $2. Y2J versus Omega, opening shots of the WWE versus New Japan Pro Wrestling War. I don't think it's going to get to that. I don't think it's going to the point of where they're poaching talent from each other. I just think it's in terms of perception of the two companies from wrestling fans. I mean, New Japan right now is totally winning.
I'll put it this way. I think the big difference is this. It's well documented in all the great WWE documentaries they did about the Monday Night Wars that Ted Turner, to a degree, that was a real competition. He really wanted to put WWE out of business, basically.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening here at all. I think New Japan probably gets a kick out of the idea that Vince McMahon is probably waking up to this news on Sunday morning like the rest of us and being
sweating
like,
it a little bit.
What
yeah.
the hell is this?
Yeah.
They probably get a kick out of this, but it just... Everything seems to indicate that they're doing their thing and they're trying to build their business best way they know how.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had that report last week when the Twitter beef was going down that New Japan was looking to sign a big overseas star, a big, you know, foreign star, foreign to them, for Wrestle Kingdom for Kenny Omega because we figured it'd be probably Ibushi.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be Chris Jericho.
I know.
That's huge. But I don't know. I mean, nobody knows where the business is going to be 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be at least 5 to 10 years. If there was ever any thought of, oh, well, New Japan's going to take over WWE or anything like that, it would be a ways off.
Yeah.
And a lot of crazy things would have to happen for the WWE to lose any sort of foothold they have in terms of being the number one promotion in the world.
Ed Cabo, $2, has another Super Chat question. If this is a one-off, could he, Jericho, be back for WrestleMania? I don't think so. I have an idea.
You have an idea. Go ahead.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I can see the stars lining up for this Jericho Omega program to consist of three matches, a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
First happening at Wrestle Kingdom, which would mean Jericho would have to win. He would have to beat Omega, win the U.S. title.
Okay.
And then 2.5 months later, I'm not saying it's going to happen, it's just a theory. 2.5 months later, at Strong Style Evolve, the show in Long Beach, they have a rematch. Omega goes over, gets that belt back. Rubber match happens on Jericho's cruise because people want to see who is actually for reals the best in the world during the rubber match on Jericho's cruise.
Yeah.
That's going to pop ticket sales.
I'd love it.
Again, I don't know if it's going to happen. Probably not. But a thought popped in my head.
Well, hey, if he's been in talks with them since August,
yeah,
you know, you never know what kind of crazy ideas they have. That's a possibility. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to do their rubber match on a cruise. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, I know.
You know?
But maybe then, there'll be some broadcast of the Ring of Honor tournament that's happening. I don't know.
Are you looking at possibly getting on the cruise now?
I mean, I've been on a cruise before. It was fun.
Yeah, but this cruise, the Cruise of Jericho.
Yeah.
Probably be fun.
It would be fun.
When is it? Next October?
Next October, yeah.
Oh, man. How much are tickets?
I have no idea.
I haven't looked that up. How much are tickets for the Cruise of Jericho?
I don't know. I think you could...
They're available now, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. You can reserve a spot, I think, for $150. Oh, wow. I think that's the deposit you have to put there.
Where is it going? Where is it going
out of? It's going from Miami to the Bahamas and back.
Oh, okay.
And I think the Bahamas is the only port.
I could be wrong.
I really haven't investigated the itinerary that much.
Book now. Oh, crap. Pricing and availability.
But anyways, that was just a couple of the major things that come out of Power Struggle, which both of us watch parts of, but not the whole thing. How much is a decent cabin?
Okay, so top of the line, owner's suites for two people. Oh, God, per person, $4,200.
Yes.
But that's like the biggest.
Yeah, what's middle level?
Middle level, you're looking around $1,200 each.
That's not terrible.
$1,500 each. Penthouse... I'd go for the penthouse romance suite.
Okay.
That's for me and Lacey, it'd be $5,000.
Oh, not you and I.
Oh, man, I'm not going to get us a freaking penthouse romance suite. What, are you going to sit there and look at porn or something?
No,
I mean, freaking weirdo.
Just because it's called that doesn't mean you have to do anything.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing we bring the wives for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going on a cruise together.
Why not?
Hey, at this point, why not, right?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, about $1,500.
That's not terrible.
Mini suite, $1,500.
And that's total, right?
Per person, yeah.
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 Plus flights from here to Miami.
Right.
Anyways, like I said, those are just a few of the announcements coming out of Power Struggle, which we can talk about a bit and how it's going to relate to Wrestle Kingdom 12, which is shaping up to be the hottest wrestling show of 2018, yeah?
Oh, my God, this is going to be so much fun. So now we really have to think about... Are we going to live stream our reactions?
Oh, I think we have to now.
Where? Here?
Yeah.
Everybody's all sleeping?
Guess we better hurry up and get some office space.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know. Jeez, too many things to think about.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to go down to Fair Oaks today and look for some office space.
I don't know if we're going to have time.
I know.
We got draft prep for today.
Too much stuff. Oh, yeah, by the way, in 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern,
yeah,
we're having our Xbox One Friendo draft.
Correct.
For bad wrestling.
Correct.
Oh, here we go.
You Master really want to go experiment. On this cruise. You know, DDP and Raven are going to be guests on the cruise. There's music. DDP, there's
Foley,
comedy.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Ray.
It looks like fun.
The Killing the Town podcast. I wonder if we could hit them up and say, hey, Going In Raw podcast, we could be special guests.
That'd be cool.
People know us. Oh, and there's music, too.
Yeah, there's music and comedy.
Ozzy, Jim Brewer's band, Blizzard of Ozzy.
Yeah, it's an Ozzy Osbourne cover band, I'm sure.
And then comedy. I can bust out my comedy routine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Steve's got some bits.
I got some bits.
Anyway, let's talk about Power Struggle a little bit, because it was a fun show. Granted, I only watched the four title matches, because that's all I had time for. You watched more of the undercard, yes?
I watched everything except for the most of the Trent Beretta-Kenny Omega match, which I plan to go back and watch.
Yeah, it's fun.
I didn't have a lot of time.
There's not a ton of drama in that match, but they tried to instill some drama.
Yeah, by the end, it just looked like by the end it just looked like Kenny was whooping up on...
that's pretty much the story.
Yeah.
So I guess the matches that have implications for Wrestle Kingdom. Let's talk about, was it Roppongi 3K taking on ACH and Taguchi, right?
Sure.
In the finals for the Junior Tag League. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that match.
I mean, it was decent. I miss Ricochet. I like ACH. I think he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He was battling busted ribs. That's always a favorite.
Did you have rip tape?
Yeah. That's always a favorite story of mine when somebody's battling rib injuries
yeah.
and they have rib tape, because he did take off the rib tape in the end. Well, let's talk about, hold on a second. I want to talk about freaking Finley and Kitamura.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Man, they're pushing the crap out of Kitamura in terms of being a young lion.
Yeah.
Him and the other kid, what's his name? Kawato?
Yeah.
Kawato? Yeah. They love those guys.
Yeah.
Man, 10 years from now, they're going to be huge.
Yeah.
And I love Finley.
Kitamura is the real buff one, right?
Yeah, he's the jack dude. They give him the fangs. Again, he's a young lion. Why does he get cool fangs?
Well, I mean, lions have kind of like fangs, right?
That's too much. Anyways,
what are these teeth called? The ones that are really pointy?
Oh, man.
Cuspids? Bicuspids?
Bicuspids?
Yeah.
That that's good.
I think lions have larger bicuspids.
Yeah, I don't
know. Look like fangs.
Anyways, the match was okay. It was fine. It was what it was. I like Roppongi 3K.
Yeah.
Anyways, the big story about this, Roppongi 3K went over, and then at the end, the Young Bucks came out, and they challenged them. They get so meta with their stuff because they were like, this is the part of the show where I point at you and you point back at me. So we're challenging you. They don't like to do anything like straight up.
Yeah.
They have to make fun of everything they do.
Yeah, I know.
I like that, though.
It's good.
That's their thing.
It's good. That's the whole thing is pointing out the ridiculousness of pro wrestling and reveling in it.
Yeah.
As far as the tag match between Chaos and LIJ, you told me that you felt like it lacked some intrigue.
Well, okay, you know, Okada Naito is like a huge main event at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't really, I mean, they played it up a little bit, but, I mean, I don't know, not much. I got more of a kick out of Naito sort of taunting Ticking Time Bomb because Naito brought his briefcase out, and I guess he's been doing this a lot lately where Takahashi will get in the ring, and Naito will slide the briefcase at him, and it'll hit him. He just likes to taunt them. It's funny.
That's funny.
But no, so like at the end, like Okada, I think, picked up the win with the Rainmaker. I forgot who I think it was Evil. Or maybe it was Bushi. I don't know. And then he started doing the eye thing at Naito, and Naito, like, wasn't paying attention. Like, Naito didn't look at it. So there was no, like, oh, big face off. Like,
they still have 2 months to do stuff, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm assuming there's going to be some Road 2 Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. And then they have the World Tag League shows coming up, too.
Yeah.
They don't have, you know, like a huge event centered around that.
Right.
I don't believe. Maybe the finals will have
and I'm sure they'll do stuff,
major show.
Yeah, they do that stuff. They also do stuff at, like, press conferences.
Yeah. There's still time for build. I mean, that match is inherently awesome, potentially. It doesn't need a ton of hype for build to it because there's years of story leading up to it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the junior heavyweight title match between Will Ospreay and Marty Skrull.
Oh, wait, you don't want to talk about Yano versus...
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, I do.
Yano went back to his...
Orange hair.
And the shaved eyebrows. Again, I feel like Suzuki likes Yano because I feel like Suzuki was being very safe with Yano.
He was. There was a couple of times he was hitting with a chair that he just barely touched him.
And then, like, all the stuff with the bull rope, it's like, granted, you don't really want to, like, strangle a guy with a rope, but he was, like, going out of his way to make sure that Yano was completely okay with, like, the rope and where it was.
Suzuki's a safe worker, despite how he treats young lions. He's a safe worker.
Well, to certain people, I think he's a safe worker. I think him and Yano are just probably buddies or something.
Could be.
You know, he thinks Yano has a big heart. And Suzuki appreciates that. But anyways, no, it was a fun match.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, it wasn't like all just Yano comedy.
No, but there was the spots where he takes the turnbuckle cover off. He gets a low blow in on both Suzuki and I think it was Taichi.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's that great spot if you get the low blow where you like wrap Suzuki up in the bull rope to try to kind of tie him up a bit before the pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. But Suzuki ended up winning.
Yeah.
Put him in a sleeper. Wrapped the rope around his neck and then hit a Gotch pile driver. He held up there for a while, too.
Yeah, he held him up there. It was great.
See, yeah, and then picked up the win.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, back to this junior heavyweight. You weren't huge into this match.
I thought Skrull early on had a little bit of difficulty keeping up with Ospreay.
Yeah, nobody can keep it. It's just Ricochet. That's the only person.
No, I know, but it just seemed like there was, times where he just looked like, and this is a minor thing. A minor criticism.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like he was in his spot waiting for Ospreay to do something so he could do something. But the beginning of the match, it was more so the beginning, it seemed like Skrull had a hard time getting into the flow of things. But by the end of the match, he was fine.
Yeah. I liked it because they were really playing up the history between these
two. Yeah, that Skrull has always beat Ospreay.
And I thought that Ospreay really, really played into that as well.
Yeah.
I thought this was... I think Marty Skrull is one of the best characters in all of wrestling these days. And I thought this match also, he was doing a lot more things because it was Ospreay to show off that villainous side, as opposed to just cheeky villain Yeah. It was like, oh, this guy, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And Ospreay was really playing into that. So that's what I was really buying into. So I like
this. Oh, Skrull's character work is
always top notch. Yeah. It's fantastic. Like, it was just, there was just a little bit of extra stank on it. Like, when he did the fingers snap thing.
Yeah.
And Ospreay was really, really selling the crap out of it. Yeah. And then he stomps on the finger.
Yeah.
I liked it.
But even later on the match, after the finger break, Ospreay had that moment where he tried to reset it.
So. Yeah. It was really, I liked it. But I think both these guys get up for each other.
Oh, yeah. Probably, I don't know, two-thirds of the way through the match, Skrull does his little dance, shouts chicken wing, locks it in. Ospreay manages to get to the ropes, breaks the hold.
That was kind of the only thing that kind of stood out to me is I wish he wouldn't do. I know it's part of his staple. It's part of his wheelhouse, if you will. But when he does the super kick, just kidding thing, that's kind of cheeky villain. Sometimes I just want him to ditch that stuff and be complete dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
Yeah. Later on, Skrull reverses an os cutter into the chicken wing. Whenever he does that, jumps in midair and puts the chicken wing on someone. It's always great.
Yeah.
But he didn't win with that because Ospreay got out of it. Got Skrull in a roll-up. Skrull reversed it. Mm-hmm. Wins with his own roll-up. And then someone was going to come down to challenge. We knew that.
This was great because
this is fantastic.
It's been a running sort of joke with the junior heavyweight title in that Ticking Time Bomb. Granted, I haven't seen them all. I just saw the last one. Ticking Time Bomb came down to challenge Ospreay for his title when he won it off Kushida. And before he was able to get on the mic and say the words, "I challenge you," Skrull came down. He broke his fingers.
Yeah. Afterwards, at some point during that, Ospreay like punched him too. Or that happened before the previous challenge.
I think it was the previous one.
That he tried to challenge Kushida.
When he challenged Kushida, I didn't see that one, but I get that from what happened on a power struggle.
Yeah.
Because this time, Kushida. So Ospreay was upset with the way the match finished. He thought his shoulder was up. He got rolled up. So he was sort of given Red Shoes the business. Kushida gets in and says, "Hey, you know, back up, leave him alone." He goes over to Marty Skrull and says, and we'll get demonetized when I say it.
To say MF-er.
Screw it, I'm going to say it. Won't get demonetized.
Oh, yeah, we will.
We're not going to get demonetized. I don't think it's going to just for that one thing.
Well, there's multiple times that it's said during the segment.
I'm just going to say it the one time. Can I just say it one
fine,
time?
Fine, if you really need to get it out of
here. Oh, it's going to make you sad.
It's going to make me stress about this video getting demonetized.
It was crazy about Kushida saying that word. M-effer.
Just say that.
People mother effer.
People know that.
He said, "I challenge you, mother effer."
And then Ospreay grabs the mic and says, get in your effing DeLorean and get to the back of the line, mother effer.
get your effing DeLorean. Get back to the back of the effing line.
And then while all this is happening, Takahashi is walking down the ring. He has groin protection, shin guards.
Yeah.
He's carrying a helmet and gloves. So he gets in the ring, puts the helmet on, puts the gloves on, shows his gloved hands to Skrull, says, "You can't break my fingers."
He goes
now
to Ospreay. He starts doing this, go ahead and try to
punch
me
now. And so Skrull takes the mic. Well, actually, Takahashi speaks first. Skrull takes the mic and says, "I'll fight all of you."
Mm.
Fatal four-way.
Yeah.
And commentary says this rarely happens.
Yeah,
Japan.
They don't do this a lot.
They don't do a whole lot of,
triple threats and multi-man
matches. Yeah.
That's sort of what I learned. It's crazy because, everything in Mexico is that. And then in Japan, everything's, singles. Kind of interesting that they're going to do that for Wrestle Kingdom. I'm super keen.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I love all of these guys.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And I love, you have to appreciate the character work of the Ticking Time Bomb. Because he's not like everybody wants to be an alpha, but he's sort of the guy that gets picked on sometimes.
I know.
And it's worked for comedy, but he's amazing in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's really good. It's really good.
We spoke a bit about the Trent versus Kenny Omega match for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
The story of this one is all about just Trent showing a lot of heart
and
just trying to find a way to pull out a victory over a vastly more talented, this is storyline-wise, champion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kenny Omega was working over a vast majority of this match.
Yeah.
And you missed some of the crazier spots. Kenny suplexed Trent onto a table, which sounds these days wrestling kind of okay, no huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
The table's turned over, and it was right on the metal railing on the other side of the table.
Right.
And then he puts the table on top of Trent, goes on the apron, does a running double stomp through the table, puts it up to his face, does a "Hey, here's Johnny" thing from Shining. It was great.
Yeah.
And people like working over Trent's back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's history there. Everybody works over Trent's back. Ever since he did that plancha at WrestleMania, yeah. where he landed on nothing but ramp,
yeah.
everybody works over his back.
Oh, that was great.
But pretty much the whole match, Kenny would destroy Trent for anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Trent would mount a little bit of offense, only for Kenny to come back and beat him up some more. But there was good spots for Trent. He did that baseball slide, German suplex off the rope. That was cool,
mm-hmm.
which on Twitter he credited to John Morrison.
There you go.
But even then he takes Kenny outside to give him an apron pile driver. Kenny reverses it into a body or backdrop onto the apron. Eventually, he hits the pile driver and a pile driver on the apron.
Yeah.
But Kenny kicks out of everything. This was rough. So that table that was busted up earlier, still on the outside, is leaning against the guardrail. I believe after the apron pile driver, Kenny rolls off the apron and kind of just lays on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Trent gets the idea. All right, plancha time.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs. Does the plancha. Kenny gets out of the way, so Trent goes through the table.
Oh, man.
Right against the guardrail.
Yeah.
Cutting his back.
Oh.
Kenny hits 3 dragon suplexes.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, at that point I turned back on.
Oh, then the power bomb, the knee, the deadlift power bomb.
Yeah.
Trent still kicks out.
Yeah.
But Trent eventually hit a dude buster and kind of late getting over on the cover. So it gave you the idea that if Trent just hadn't taken so much punishment earlier on, he might have been able to beat Kenny Omega.
Right,
so
right.
It was a good, you know, it's one of those matches where it was a strong showing for Trent, even in, you know, a pretty dominant defeat.
Mm-hmm.
He still had enough good moments that it built him up enough, I think, to be, at least for now, a somewhat legitimate mid-card competitor.
I wonder if they're going to rebrand him at all.
He needs new pants.
Yeah.
I like his pants.
Yeah.
He needs new pants.
No, I like his pants, too. I just don't know what they can do. He seems like the kind of guy who just is very comfortable in who he is.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, like, for example, so, like, later on, we're going to talk about Jay White coming out as Switchblade Jay White.
Yeah.
I don't see something cool in Trent Beretta's future like that, something menacing.
No,
he's
I know.
Guy.
But I think if you play up Trent's strengths in terms of being kind of this quirky dude,
yeah.
that could get him over.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Because he's hilarious on Twitter.
I just feel like you have
for
to,
the most part.
You have to transition from, you talk about his tights, you have to transition from the fact that he was one half of a really, really great tag team
yeah.
into, like, his own person.
I agree. And I think
one
I think,
way is superficially.
Yeah, just a repackage. Because,
yeah.
I mean, while I think it's funny that he has Bill Murray on one of his knee pads, I don't know why. But yeah. I do know it's a holdover from his gear from Roppongi Vice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, yeah, there needs to be some change. Anyways, Kenny wins with a knee and a one-winged angel. He grabs the mic, as we mentioned earlier, says, all right, new challenger, come on out.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes. He said, no one has the guts. Starts challenging people in the audience, he said. Jericho shows up on the screen.
Yeah.
He challenges them. It's going to happen at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Very exciting.
Yeah, very huge.
Best match of the night, though, Kota Ibushi taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title in the main event. Fantastic match.
This was amazing. This was fantastic. I had never – look, I'm not like you said earlier, we're still kind of new to New Japan. Wrestle Kingdom is going to be our one-year anniversary of watching it. And so I haven't gone back and watched a lot of the Tanahashi matches. I understand the guy's legacy and everything, and I'm always impressed by his matches, but this has been my favorite so far.
Yes.
And partially, you know, because Kota Ibushi, I've seen a handful of his matches too, and he's
phenomenal.
Amazing. Yeah, he's outstanding.
Tanahashi in kind of typical fashion for him these days, and commentary is pointing this out, especially ever since he's been wrestling with a torn bicep, has been concentrating his offense on his opponent's legs.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Pretty much right away, he goes after Kota Ibushi's legs. There's this great spot where Tanahashi was going for a basement drop kick,
mm-hmm.
and I'd never seen this before.
This was cool as shit.
Kota Ibushi countered it by jumping over him as he was drop kicking
yeah.
and then hitting a double stomp on his chest.
Oh, it was great.
I'd never seen
it.
It
was
before.
Beautiful. I know.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful.
And so there's this back and forth between Tanahashi working over Ibushi's legs and Ibushi coming up with the fortitude to withstand the pain. There's a couple times where he sold it magnificently, where like his knee would give out.
Mm-hmm.
Kota Ibushi just trying to find ways to push the pain aside to fight.
Yeah.
And it was great. Ibushi hit his moonsault. He puts Tanahashi back in the ring, and Tanahashi just goes right back to working the leg.
Does anybody have a better moonsault than Kota Ibushi?
No.
He gets so high out of
no.
there. You know what I'd like to see you do a moonsault? Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
I bet he can go.
Oh,
right
I know,
there.
I know.
Yeah.
No one makes the dragon screw leg whip look as devastating as Tanahashi.
Yeah, I know.
Like, a lot of people use that as just kind of like a move to create space.
Yeah.
But he uses that as a legitimate offensive weapon, and it works for him.
That's right.
His sling blade looks the best.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You said that before, and then I watched it this time, and I was like, yeah, it's good. I'm still just not a huge fan of that move.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
It's like the opposite to me of Neckbreaker. I love Neckbreakers.
Do you like Tanahashi's Neckbreaker variant, the Twist and Shout?
Yeah, I do.
It's good.
I hate the name, though. I don't like... See, my thing about Tanahashi, too, is that, like, I just don't really understand his character. You know what I mean?
Love and energy, man.
I don't... Yeah, I'm not huge. I don't
He's
like love.
Ace.
I don't like... Now,
air guitar is part of his character. How is that not awesome?
Okay, I didn't really care about that until this time when he was there reminding
me of extended air guitar
the extended
solos.
Extended encores
yes.
were good. I'm not huge on love. I'm not big on energy.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty menacing.
Sorry, you're rooting for Jay White in this feud.
No.
We'll get to that in a bit. There's still a lot more to talk about this match. It was really good.
I love Jay White, though.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler.
Yeah,
Tanahashi, talk about getting air. Got tons of air on that high fly flow mm-hmm. he hit on Ibushi on the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Tanahashi gets Ibushi back in the ring, sets up for a high fly flow, and Ibushi hit a flip kick
yeah.
to knock Tanahashi off the rope, or at least, you know, get him so he's sitting on the top turnbuckle. And then Ibushi followed up with, like, the quickest Frankensteiner I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But then Tanahashi's foot got kind of stuck on the top rope, and so the landing was a little clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're lucky no one got hurt there. And whenever Ibushi, like, throws someone into the turnbuckle.
Dude,
that's crazy.
That wasn't, like, freaking Tanahashi's shoulder going into it.
No,
he went head first.
Yeah.
Oh, that looked rough.
I know.
That looked really rough.
And then hit his second rope German suplex, which I love.
Yeah, that's great.
Never Ibushi does that.
Yeah.
There's this cool spot where Ibushi misses a Phoenix Splash. Tanahashi goes to top rope, misses high fly flow.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best part. So there's like a slap slash palm strike fight in the middle of the ring. We're just slapping
like
and palm striking
like
the hell out of each other.
Oh, my God. Those
Ibushi
awesome.
Gets Tanahashi in the corner, starts stomping on him, standing
yeah.
on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And Red Shoes is giving him the five count. And so Ibushi stomping on Tanahashi and grabs Red Shoes' arm so he can't count to five anymore. And he starts arguing with him.
He starts, as he's still stomping,
yeah.
he's staring at Red
yeah,
Shoes.
Yeah, he starts arguing with him. And they
yeah.
back away towards the center of the ring, so Tanahashi gets a chance to get his bearings. And it comes at Ibushi with a flurry of slaps and palm strikes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was great. I mean, this is the brutal Tanahashi that I hadn't really seen before.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's done it in plenty of matches. He's a legend. I personally haven't seen it before. It was awesome to
it
see.
It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
Ibushi answered that with a lariat. He hits Tanahashi with a last ride. And Tanahashi just barely kicked out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And just
eyes,
barely.
Eyes totally closed, too.
Barely.
Eyes totally closed. Understands exactly what the ref
yep.
is doing.
And there's a spot where Ibushi tries for another last ride, but then he just can't do it.
Yeah.
He gives out.
That was great,
energy.
Too, because it kind of looked botchy, but it was like, no, he just
it's
totally
so
sold that.
Yeah. Wheels. Yeah.
That was good.
And Tanahashi followed that up with three twists and shouts, and then he picked up the win with two high fly flows. There's a nice moment afterwards where Ibushi, the whole kind of one of the stories of the match was Ibushi really looked up to Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so after the match, commentary saying, you know, Ibushi was somewhat reluctant to accept the challenge because he didn't want to let down
mm-hmm.
one of his heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes up to Tanahashi at the match, gives him a huge hug.
Yeah.
It's a really cool moment.
Keep going.
I have to put my dog out of the
room. All right. So Ibushi walks out of the ring. Tanahashi grabs the mic, drops a promo, does extended encores with air guitar solos.
And anybody else would have, like, if I didn't know that Jay White was coming out because I had seen it in gift form,
I probably would have just been like, okay, cool, he's going to do this for a little while.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he did extended air
guitar.
It was
like 5 minutes.
It was like a good 5 minutes
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
air guitar.
And then Jay White came out in like the post-credit sequence.
Yeah, exactly.
Seemingly.
Yeah. So like the Switchblade, the last of the Switchblade, the reveal Switchblade video happened. Of course, it's been happening for a couple months. There's a couple different names. I think Sammy Callahan threw his own name out there for a possibility,
yeah.
but we knew that wasn't going to be the case. And we got the big face reveal of Jay White. People knew who he was. They started, you know, he was a young lion there in New Japan.
He's been on Excursion, Ring of Honor, amongst other places.
We saw him at PWG. That was
yeah.
the first time
yeah.
we saw him.
Against Marty Scurll.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was
and that was very impressive. Like, I
yeah,
remember,
yeah.
like, that stuck out to me. Was that his first PWG match?
I think so.
I think it was, yeah. I think this is great.
The packaging's great. He looks great.
He looks great. He's a baby.
He's very young.
He looks like
and
a,
you can tell,
looks like a baby.
You can tell he might not have the most confidence in his mic.
Right, exactly.
Because when he was talking to Tanahashi, he didn't have a mic. It was just camera audio picking it up. And when he walked back up the ramp, you could tell that he knew what he wanted to say. He didn't know
yeah.
exactly how he wanted to say
well,
it.
Well, I think he was also on nerve because the audience, the audience kind of fell silent just to observe what was going on.
Yeah.
They weren't like
gasping. Well, I think they were trying to hear, too.
Yeah. But he was like, all right, Mike, I'm going to take that title from you. Wrestle Kingdom? Yeah, it was pretty awkward, but also pretty funny. Anyway, he laid out Tanahashi and then put on his leather jacket. He looks cool.
Yeah, he looks
and
great.
Look, I mean, the bottom line is the dude is a hell of a wrestler. He is a hell of a wrestler. I just feel like the Switchblade character should be like a bit more grizzled, and he's such a baby.
Like Sammy Callahan.
Yeah. That dude is all grizzled.
Yeah.
That dude is all grizzled. But no, instead he went to Impact Wrestling. And the crowd, man, they were like, who is that guy? Is he a fan?
Oh, goodness. Jeez. They say, oh, Solomon Crowe.
Oh, God. Oh, he's going to hack us.
So a good show, setting stuff up pretty well for Wrestle Kingdom. So far, the announced matches for Wrestle Kingdom 12 are Young Bucks taking on Roppongi 3K for the junior tag team titles. We got that junior heavyweight fatal four-way match, Kushida versus Ospreay versus Takahashi versus Marty Scurll.
Yep.
Announced
Hold on a
yesterday.
Second. I forgot one thing to put on
what?
Here. New Japan Rumble.
Sorry.
It's the best.
Kota Ibushi is going to challenge Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor title. That's going to be awesome.
Really? At Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah.
When was that announced?
Sunday or... Yeah, Sunday.
Holy crap.
Jay White versus Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title.
Oh, it's already put on there. Cool.
Yeah, sorry, all,
the,
oh, all there.
Man, look at that.
Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega for the U.S. title and Naito versus Okada for the world title. Mm-hmm. Shaping up to be an outstanding card. I can't wait.
The big question is, who is Yano going to fight? Yano versus who? I want to know.
He might have to be in the New Japan Rumble, Steve.
Oh, boo. No, I'd be fine with that. It'd make the
because
New Japan Rumble
we
even better.
Because still know, because we have World Tag League happening. Whoever wins that gets a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
So Killer Elite Squad, they're in the tournament, but they're also champs right now.
Yeah.
So if they'll have a match. The never openweight six-man titles, LIJ have those. They need a match.
Yeah.
And then Minoru Suzuki needs a match for his never openweight title.
Yeah.
So there's still three title belts that need to be defended at Wrestle Kingdom that need challengers.
You know, Goto helped out, tried to help out Yano during that match.
Yeah.
I wonder if he might take another stab at it against
Ibushi.
That could be a good match.
Yeah, they've had they've fought a couple times already for that title.
That could be fun. That could be good. Or maybe Juice.
Yeah.
Juice going after it again. Juice doesn't have a match right now.
No.
People like Juice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways, we got a Raw coming up tonight. Let's talk a little bit about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, PW Insider had an update on his health. He is suffering from some sort of viral infection, we've heard, whether it be meningitis or the mumps, or both. Nonetheless, PW Insider reporting that WWE has been planning for Roman Reigns to return in time of Survivor Series, but, quote, there is a belief that Reigns may not be ready to return by the pay-per-view, and that, quote, there is concern within the company that he might be rushing back too soon by November 19th and might not be back in proper ring shape and ready to return to the company's touring schedule, which we all know is taxing,
pretty brutal,
arduous,
and
demanding.
Yeah.
But assuming that Reigns isn't clear in time for the Survivor Series, PW Insider is reporting that, quote, the current plan B is to have Jason Jordan replace him on the Raw team at the Survivor Series pay-per-view and play up the idea that Kurt Angle is teaming with his storyline son for the first time ever.
That's bogus, man.
I like it. I like Jason Jordan. I like the idea of them actually doing something with that storyline.
That's terrible. He's garbage. He's in a feud with Elias Sampson right now.
Yeah?
Put Elias Sampson in there. Elias Sampson's actually over. Nobody cares about Jason Jordan.
I know. They need to give people a reason to care about Jason Jordan.
No. You need to have him do something
for
people
turns,
to care.
What if he turns heel and costs Raw the match?
Well, I thought Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were going to cause her. It'd be great if
he's going to align himself with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh, it's terrible. It's so bad. He's so dorky. He's a great wrestler.
He's fantastic in the ring.
But no, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Power rank. Power rank. Who else besides Jason Jordan want to see? Elias Sampson, number five.
Well, we know it's going to be Angle, Finn. We don't know for certain that name. That Braun and Joe. Those are the ones we speculate. That's the four for sure.
Angle, Finn,
Braun,
Joe. So who's fifth? It's not Roman. Because here's the thing. If you take Roman out, at least the good thing is if you take Roman out, at least there's more parity. Because Roman is like, you know, super, super Roman.
Yeah, especially the combination of Roman and Braun. That's tough.
And then toss Joe in there and Finn in there. It's tough.
Well, I think number one would have to be Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, okay. Number one, Bray Wyatt.
Would have to be Bray.
Yeah.
Because
then there's super parity.
Yeah.
And Bray will eat a pin all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Number two,
Elias.
Elias. Number three.
How about this?
Asuka.
Kurt Hawkins. He's the sole survivor. Ooh. He finally ends winning streak by winning Survivor Series for Team Raw. Number, good storytelling.
That's a good number four. That's a good number four.
No, three.
Number three.
Oh, three is four. Asuka. Okay.
Three is Asuka. Four is Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins.
And then who's five? Curtis Axel.
Pete Dunne.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? That's my number one right there. I didn't know that was an option.
Well, I didn't think of it until I saw your shirt.
Didn't know that was a... I'm wearing a Pete Dunne shirt.
You're wearing a Pete Dunne shirt.
No, that was an option.
How
Pete
about
Dunne's number one. Hey, do you think we're going to see
James Angel.
Oh, there you go, the troll. do you think... Oh, also, on SmackDown, tomorrow...
Oh, yeah.
Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth.
Yeah, that too. I thought you were going to say AJ versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE title.
Okay. Is AJ going to win the title tomorrow?
No.
No?
No.
Why do you think they're doing this?
To give the European crowd a really cool main event.
I read something somewhere that said that WWE might want AJ versus Brock at Survivor Series.
Well, they should want that. That'd be awesome.
What if they want that?
But here's the thing, because they said on SmackDown last week that it would be AJ versus Rusev for the last spot on men's Survivor Series.
Okay, that's my point, though.
But now with that match not happening, does that mean Rusev is automatically on the team?
Maybe.
That's great.
No, that's amazing.
But then if AJ has this match with Jinder and loses, then what's AJ going to do at Survivor Series? He's not going to not be on the show.
Right.
He's SmackDown's top guy.
I don't know, man. I think he might win.
He could. It's just interesting. This is a weird move.
It is. Well, okay, here's the thing.
Because they've been building up so much with Jinder and Lesnar.
Dude, I know. And what you're saying is, it's a. What do we know whenever there's...
Oh, Vince is fickle. Here's the thing. Vince
what do we
fickle,
know
his mind on
whenever
time.
There's a weird move? Whenever there's a weird move, it means Vince has made some weird decision, which means there's going to be a title change, right?
Well, potentially.
I think that's kind of like the most likely scenario.
So here, what do we have lined up going forward? We have this match tonight at Starrcade, the star-packed house show they're having in North Carolina, I think the weekend before Survivor Series. I think the advertised main event is Nakamura versus Mahal in a cage match for the WWE title. Are they going to change that to Styles Nakamura?
Well, I don't know. That's stuff that they can change.
I know, because card is always something to change.
Yeah, exactly.
At Survivor Series, they have, right now, Lesnar versus Mahal, champion versus champion.
Mm-hmm.
And the next pay-per-view after Survivor Series is Clash of Champions, which I assume would be when...
Right, yeah.
You know, title shot against Mahal.
But here's the thing. If they knew that AJ... I mean, we said that Cena being the ref at Survivor Series probably meant that we're going to get Cena versus Mahal and Cena would win at WrestleMania first.
Yeah.
But if they're... I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a weird move. Honestly, to me, it's just weird because they had already announced on TV we're getting AJ versus Rusev. And then through no storyline reason whatsoever...
Well, Shane just said,
he just announced on Twitter?
Yeah, or on WWE.com that based on Mahal's and the Singh brothers' beatdown of AJ, that AJ's going to get a title shot.
That's wonky. There's something wonky there. There's something weird there. And
do you think they could do a thing where AJ wins the title Tuesday to get a pop, following week on SmackDown, have a rematch, have Mahal go over, so you still have Lesnar Mahal at Survivor Series, and then AJ gets his rematch at Clash of Champions. Do you think that could happen?
Maybe, I guess. I think that's overthinking it. I don't know, man.
I'm just saying they've been pushing Mahal versus Lesnar so hard.
Yeah, I know.
To abruptly change course.
But
it's going to seem weird.
How's it been going over? It's been going over like a wet fart. You know what I mean? Like, Jinder comes out there, he starts running down. If there was the kind of thing that we thought might have been the case, Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar not taking Jinder Mahal seriously, and Jinder and them having Jinder play into that, which is not an easy thing to do given his, you know, bravado. That's a difficult, you know, thing to play into.
Yeah.
AJ versus Brock.
Well, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. I don't know.
Don't get your hopes up, but...
Oh, I'm not... you know, it'll be interesting. And on top of that, like, you know, they need some more juice going into Survivor Series.
Yeah.
You know, they do need a little more juice. So, I don't know. And the fact that AJ said, hey, I'm going to take this title and I'm going to fight Brock means that option is open storyline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
You want to take a few questions before we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's take a couple of questions. If you guys got questions, let us know right now. What are your questions?
Sergio C. says no one wants Jinder versus Brock. I'm curious to see how they would book it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm kind of curious, although I think it would be the way we kind of figure. Like you said, with the Nakamura thing, only Brock would end up going over. He'd kick out of the Colossus.
Yep.
It was weird. I mean, it's odd because they had kind of a chance to put Jinder in this underdog position.
Angel Master 765 has a good point. The problem with Jinder is that he's not taken seriously, which is why he might beat AJ tomorrow. That's why Jinder has beaten Nakamura twice.
Yeah.
They might have him beat AJ to make him look more legitimate heading into his match with Lesnar.
But if it's the same crap, I mean, I don't, God, that would suck having him go over AJ clean if that's the case.
Jacob Perkins says, write the cruise off on your taxes.
Oh, yeah, I can totally do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been telling Lacey, if we go back to England, I'm like, you know what? I get into one of them cultaholic videos, call up Adam, say, hey, get me in there, write the whole thing up.
Yep. Okada versus Jericho, yay or nay? I mean, it'd be great to see.
Yeah, sure. Why not, man?
In fact, on this upcoming week's countout, that's the theme.
WWE versus New Japan Dream Matches.
Yep. Stay tuned.
Justin Eichelberger again. Steven Larson, what are the odds of a Raw invasion during the AJ Mahal match?
I think the Raw roster is in the United Kingdom, and mm-hmm. I think SmackDown, I think, no, they have been in Spain.
Mm.
So I don't, like, logistically, it's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
I don't remember where SmackDown is emanating from, though. So.
Yeah, Becky versus Ellsworth has been confirmed. Jacusto 100, you're going to have to wait until...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're asking what would be our favorite WWE versus New Japan Dream match.
I mean, when I was starting to put together the list, number one was pretty obvious in my mind.
Patrick Oliva, well, I'll look at it in a sec. Patrick Oliva wants to know how we can sit with you for New Japan in Long Beach. Luck of the draw. If you happen to get the seats that are next to the ones that we're going to get, then you'll be sitting next to
us. Which we haven't bought yet.
We haven't bought them yet. When are they going on sale? We don't know.
Did announce.
Don't know.
Who do you think will be the next Intercontinental Champion? Braun Strowman.
I could see that, yeah.
It's Braun Strowman or Finn Balor.
Yeah.
One of those two.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about this. Triple H showed up at ICW.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
This is where real wrestling happens.
Is that what he said?
He said something like that. It was something like, this is where wrestling happens, or something like that, which seems plainly obvious.
He's a wrestling company, so yeah. But if he said this is where real wrestling happens, that's interesting.
He said something like that. There's somebody in chat, let us know exactly what his words were. It was something like, this is where the real wrestling happens.
Yeah, Nicholas Grosskirth mentioned that Meltzer said the two rosters, Raw and SmackDown, would be different countries.
Hmm.
So.
Are you guys going to Mania again? I'm leaning towards no.
Well, no, I'm going to go to New Japan and Long Beach instead.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's here instead?
Yeah.
All right. That sounds like a plan to me. Did I complain once when we were in Long Beach?
No.
Nope.
Well, we had great seats both days.
It was very comfortable.
Yeah.
We were surrounded by friendos.
Yeah.
We got to see James.
Yeah.
Everything was great.
Yeah, it was good
time.
We got
to see Christopher Kaufman.
Yeah. Ulysses.
Ulysses, Sandra. They're all there.
It was a good time.
Vincent was
there. Oh, here we go. Power Rank.
Power Rank.
Title changes at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Naito is winning that title. Naito's winning that title.
You say that as if it's a lock.
I don't think it's a lock, but
he's
the top merch seller in Japan. He is completely over with the crowd.
What are the odds that Switchblade Jay White's going to Steak Knife? Can my character be named Steak Knife Steve here?
I prefer Butter Knife.
For you or me?
Either.
Okay. Salad Fork Steve here.
There you go. Dessert spoon.
Dessert spoon.
Anyways, no, Jay White's not winning.
Oh, man.
I think the most likely of the announced matches so far, we don't know who's challenging for the tag titles or any other ones. I think the two most likely title changes would be the world title and the junior title.
I think Ospreay might win the junior title.
Yeah.
Because they had him drop it so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on the world title. I'm just saying it's not a lock.
Well, I'm not saying it's a lock, but I'm pretty confident in saying that Naito's going to pick up that belt.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Ibushi's not going to beat Cody for the Ring of Honor title. Cody's carrying that belt until Daniel Bryan's situation gets worked out.
You're probably right about that.
I think there is a chance that Jericho could beat Kenny for the U.S. title if he signed on for more than one match. I don't know how likely it is, but it's possible. But I feel like it's pretty much I feel like Roppongi 3K is going to retain against the Young Bucks because they seem really invested in them. So the most
Oh, here we go. Hold on.
Logical ones would be the junior heavyweight and then Naito winning.
Adam Legg has what Triple H said. I want to take a second to come here tonight and thank all of you because the truth is this is where our business starts. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is where our business starts. According
is
to Mike,
referring to poaching other companies for their talent.
Yeah. Although according to my career mode, it starts at the Performance Center with Albert.
Yep. Well, that's after they poach you from an independent company.
That's right.
Mr. Jacobs says he doesn't see Kenny laying down for Jericho. I think Kenny would lay down in the service of a good story.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. At Wrestle Kingdom, I would think that Kenny's going to go over.
Oh,
maybe if your scenario plays out and they have three of them, the rubber matches on the cruise, I can maybe see Kenny getting the belt back on the cruise.
No, he's getting the belt back.
And losing the second one.
Oh, I don't know.
Like he loses it. What's the second one? What did you do your second scenario?
At the show at Long Beach.
Oh, yeah. Jericho picks it up at Long Beach. I don't see Kenny losing at Wrestle Kingdom.
Nope, I don't know.
I don't see that happening. Any Luke Dondelinger this week? Yes, on YouTube, not new on Twitch.
Yeah.
We film enough Dondelinger for YouTuber, like every for YouTube, like I think every 6 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great question. Holy Shibata, what faction in New Japan would Chris Jericho join if he had to pick one? Obviously not Bullet Club.
Not Bullet Club.
I don't think he... I don't think he'd fit in with any because he wants to be the alpha. And all the factions already have alphas.
He can, like, start his own faction.
You'd have to start his own faction.
With all the factionless guys, like Jay White. Switchblade Jay White's not a faction.
Yeah,
he'd pick up Switchblade Jay White.
Yeah.
He'd pick up...
Shibata could be their manager. Well, I want to see more Shibata. I know he can't wrestle, but...
I don't know. I want to remember him
The
way he was.
I just want Shibata to be able to continue working in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, me too. Don't have to be on camera reminding us all that he headbutted himself out of a freaking brain.
Who else is factionless? A lot of people aren't in a faction are just in Taguchi Japan.
Yeah, like there's a lot of like sort of Taguchi Japan flutters. Like Juice isn't Juice.
Oh,
isn't
Angel Juice. Master brings up a point here. Now with Yoshitatsu leaving, Bullet Club Hunters are without a leader.
There you go.
It's fit into the storyline if Jericho took over Bullet Club Hunters.
That's a good point. That's
great
a good
point.
Yeah. Well done. Would you rather see, Erodi says, would you rather see Neville in New Japan or SmackDown? At this point, probably New Japan.
Yeah.
Just because it'd probably give Vince fits.
Yeah.
Even more fits.
I feel like Neville would be happier.
Yeah, I know. I want Neville
New Japan is the place to be right now.
Yeah, really.
In the wrestling industry.
I agree with that. What song does Jericho come out to at WrestleMania?
Hopefully a Fozzy song.
Whatever one I think is probably in that video, because I'm pretty sure that was a Fozzy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it could be.
I mean, it might just be musical Fozzy.
Yeah.
Judas. All right, well, that's it. We're good. We have more stuff to do. Join us in about 2 hours, though. Where's my audio? There should be a song playing right now.
There is.
All right, cool. Yeah, so join us in 2 hours. We'll be on the Twitch. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.